You're listening to the Be the Church podcast of Anderson Christian Church. Be sure to visit us online at accbethechurch.com.
And I hope everyone had a fantastic Thanksgiving. And we're pausing this week. We finished up that Now series last week. We're going to spend a little bit of time about being thankful this morning. In particular, what we're talking about is being thankful for now. Where we are in life, what we have right now. Being thankful for now. Not where we were or where we want to be, but being thankful for right now. And the next week, we're going to get into our Christmas series. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, but how insane is it that we're already, because that's when you know it's getting real, is when we get to the Christmas series at church. You know it's just around the corner. And Krista and I put up our decorations yesterday, and we sat down, the kids were in bed, and I just looked at the tree, and I said to Krista, how are we here at this point already? And this morning, she said, we know how calendars work, but it doesn't feel like we should be at this point in the calendar yet, but here we are. And getting ready to get into all this. But this morning we're looking specifically at how we can be thankful for right now, because that helps us as we enter into the Christmas season, as we come to celebrate and remember what it is that God has done for us, the arrival of Jesus and His ministry, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection. And when we enter that time of remembrance for that with a thankful heart, we put ourselves in a much better position to truly take in what it is that we are celebrating. So again, I hope that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm still in that mode, because we are having our big Thanksgiving dinner after church at the house. Krista's sister and family has come up from Virginia, and so after church, we're going to be over at our place a little bit later this afternoon and having the big Thanksgiving meal. So I'm still there. I haven't quite had that big one yet. But Thanksgiving is so important. But it's so important. So when we think about being thankful for now, there's something that I feel like I have to confess to you. Majority of my life, probably really most of my life, I've not been thankful for now. I haven't. If we're really honest, a lot of us could probably admit to something like that. What I do is I allow my desires for tomorrow to override my ability to be thankful for today. I'm going to say that again. See, I allow my desires for tomorrow to override my ability to be thankful for today, because I'm always hoping about tomorrow or what next year is going to hold, or when I get to a certain age, or when other things happen, milestones are accomplished. And so I'm always looking to the future, in a sense, these hopes that I have for, desires that I have for, what I want those experiences to be like. And when I'm always living in the future, I miss out on what I have right now. And so my desires for tomorrow override my ability to be thankful for today. Let me give you a couple of examples. Growing up and going to school, when I was in school, and maybe you were in the same situation, you always wanted to be in the next grade. You know, in second grade, you thought, man, when I'm a third grader, things are going to be made. I remember being in fifth grade, and I spent about 2 days in fifth grade feeling like I had arrived. I got on the bus my first day of fifth grade, and I was thinking, out of the way, you know, fifth grader's on board. And then what happens? Then you start thinking, well, this isn't that big of a deal. Sixth grade is going to be awesome. And that was a mistake, right? Middle school is never awesome. But that's where you are. You always want to be next. And you're thinking, well, I'm a junior, I can't wait to be a senior. So you're always living and thinking, well, when I get to this stage, things are going to be better. And you miss out on what's going on right around you. And that's where I was, always wanting to get the next grade. Aging, you know, maturing and things like that. You look at different things. I remember in my early 20s where I couldn't wait to be old enough to rent a car all on my own, right? Because you're getting older, you can do other things and certain things. And so you look at this at your age and the different maturities that would come along with that, and you would not be content with where you are, but you always looked to being in a different age range. Milestones in life, things that we accomplish. Maybe it's getting to that age where you can get that driver's license and you can have that freedom. But you're just so unhappy until you get that. Then you can't wait till you get a car where you can actually use your driver's license. Maybe it's, I can't wait till I graduate high school, and then what does it turn into? I can't wait until I graduate college, and then what does it turn into? I can't wait till I get the job, until I get married, until I have kids, until I have grandkids, until it just keeps going, all these different milestones. Possessions. Right? We're always looking at the next possession that we need. I need the next phone. I need a bigger house. I need a better car. And we're always competing. We're never happy with what we have, but it's what we could have that would really set it off. Status. boy, it would be so much better if I can just achieve the status that I want. If I can get to this point, then people will respect me the way that I want to be respected. If I can get to this point, then I'll have the authority that I need to have. And so we're always looking at it saying, if I can just get to that status within my family, within my job, within my neighborhood, then things will be all right. But we're never satisfied with where we are. Family as well. Family, kids, all that stuff. It just continues, right? How things could be just a little bit better and how we hope for the future. But when we're always looking at tomorrow or the next thing, the problem is that we often walk right by today. So when we're always looking at tomorrow, we always walk right by today. And we don't even realize it until it's too late, until you've already gone past it. Then you look over your shoulder and you think, why wasn't I more grateful for that? Why wasn't I more thankful for that? I think back to my time in college. You know, college is a pretty good time in life. Yeah, you think you've got a lot of responsibilities while you're in college, but you really don't. It's a pretty good time in life, and your body is younger, and you can stay up late, and you can eat all kinds of things. And when I was in college, I just kept looking and hoping, you know, for the time where I could graduate. Man, when can I get out of here? When can I get a job? When can I get out of these dorms? When can I get off this campus? When can I get to real life? Because that's when things are going to be awesome, is when I can get a job, right? And those bills, that's going to be great paying bills. It doesn't make any sense when you're on this end of it, but then you're thinking, that's going to be so fantastic. And so what I did throughout my college career, what I believe anyway, is I was mortgaging my today for tomorrow. But here I am, I'm in tomorrow, and I look back at yesterday now, and I think, man, why didn't I appreciate that more? Because you know what would be great right now? For my biggest concern to be getting up for an 8 a.m. class. That would be fantastic. If my biggest concerns were writing papers, and then again, in that moment, I thought, this is awful. How can people be expected to do these things? But I would love to go back to that. Not that I'm not appreciative and thankful for where I am, but just looking back, I wish I would have done things just a little bit more differently, that I would have appreciated the today that I had when I was in it, instead of until I got to tomorrow. So looking back, we always learn these things, and I'm upset with myself for not loving those days as the gift that they were. Same thing with kids and marriage. I remember when Krista and I first got married, I can't even remember how much time we had before Miles was born. Probably around 2.5 years, something like 3 years. I don't know, but neither of us know. You guys know what it's like before once you have kids, you forget what life was like, you know, when you didn't have kids. It's just one of those things. So those of you who have not kids, that's just a little warning for you. But you lose track of that. And I wish that looking back that we would have just appreciated those days a little bit more. Again, I love our kids, right? Every single one of them, and for our family the way that it is. But looking back, I didn't appreciate that time that I had with just my wife and the experiences and different things that we had because we were always looking to the next thing. And because we're always on to the next thing, we often miss out on being thankful for right now. Do you agree with me on that? We're always on to the next thing, so we miss out on being thankful for now. I look back at my life, and I told you, there's good things, there's bad things, there's things that I wish weren't there, there's things that I'm ashamed of, there's things I'm proud of, there's things that still bring joy, there's things that still bring tears. When I look back over my life, I don't wish that I had done any things different, that I hadn't done different things, but I do wish that I had done the same things differently. And there's a distinction there. So what I'm saying is, I don't wish that I would have done different things, just that I would have done the same things differently. For example, friendships. You know, high school, I had friends, and they were a little bit older than me, but there are so many guys that I wish I would have just appreciated that friendship and the laughter and the crazy things you get into in high school, that I would have appreciated it more. Now I don't even talk to most of them. You know, to be able to go back and just remember and to appreciate that when I had it. Same thing in college. You know, you think of the dorms, those dorms that I just couldn't wait to get out of. You know, that was a pretty good time. Late nights, going to each other's rooms, having conversations, sometimes that meant nothing, sometimes that meant a whole lot. Again, staying up late and eating all kinds of things and just not appreciating it for that time because I was always on to the senior apartments or on to life outside of campus as a whole. High school. Again, not just friendships, but I probably would have applied myself more. Again, not doing different things, but the same things differently. I did not approach high school with a very studious mind, right? I wasn't excited about classes. And to go back and to appreciate that for what it was, the ability and the opportunity to learn and to grow and to develop and to be able then to just take it all in and be thankful. But instead, man, I got to go to school. You know, it didn't make sense, and so I wish I could go back and just do that same thing a little bit different. I already mentioned the early years of marriage, family, you know, being thankful for the family that surrounds us. So there's all kinds of things looking back that I would have done the same things, but I would have done those same things differently. Maybe put it this way. When we only worry about how God is going to bless tomorrow, we miss out on His blessings of today. We spend so much time praying to God. God, can you change tomorrow? Can you make this better? Can you alleviate this burden? Can you make me this? Can you do this? And it's always about the future and what we want to take place in the future. God, bless this tomorrow. Bless my future. Bless, bless, bless. And when we're continually asking God to bless that future, we're not paying any attention to His numerous and multitude of blessings that are in our life right now. And I can guarantee, no matter who you are, no matter what your life is like right now, God has poured a multitude of blessings into your life if you would open your eyes and see them and be thankful for where you are right now. We often view life like a ladder. At least I do, and I think a lot of our society does. Everything is just a way to elevate ourselves and get to where we want to be in life. So I'm in this house right now, but it's going to get me to this house eventually. I'm in this position right now at work, but it's going to get me to this position eventually. I'm friends with this person right now, but it's a way for me to become friends with this person. And so everything is just a stepping tool or a rung on that ladder to get us to where we ultimately want to be. And so everything that is contained in that life is just serves the purpose of getting us to somewhere else. We're always on to the next thing. But here's the question. When you think of a ladder, what is the most important rung on that ladder when you're on it? Is it the ones that you were on, the ones you're going to be on, or the ones that currently are holding you in that position? Ones you currently have a grasp on, right? Because without those, what would be happening? We'd be tumbling. So the things that were within our grasp are the most important rungs on the ladder. What's the same thing in life? It's not about where we've been and the mistakes or the joys of the past. It's not about where we hope to be at some point. It's about these things being thankful for what is currently within our grasp. Being thankful for the job that we have, even though at some point we would love to have something different. Being thankful for the relationships that we have, for the family that surrounds us, and being thankful for the multitude of blessings that God has poured into our life on this day. Instead of moving on to tomorrow, let's be thankful and content with today. In Psalm 118, verse 24, which we've already referenced this morning, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, this passage is probably referencing a festival that was taking place, but it applies to every day, really, in my opinion. Because every day is a day that the Lord has made. Every day is a blessing, is a gift that He has given us. A day in which we should be rejoicing. A day in which we should be glad, because we have been given something that is very, very precious. Being thankful for now is basically what that verse says, right? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Be thankful that you have a now. That you have a day that you have woken again, that your eyes have opened, that you are breathing air, that your heart is beating. Be thankful that you have a now. God has made this day, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has made this day for you, for me. He's brought us to this point where we are right now, sitting in this room, in this building, as this church. He has brought us to this day. Let us rejoice and be grateful in it. Here's the reality, right? We are never going to have a day just like this ever again. This is the only November 29th, 2015 that we are ever going to experience. The raindrops that fell on your head walking in are never going to be the same raindrops. The wind that is against your face is never going to be the exact same wind. The conversations that you have with one another when you walked in here, that you'll have the rest of the day with family and friends, are never going to be the same conversations. The things that make you laugh or the things that make you smile are never going to be the same. The meals that you share in with one another, it's never going to be the same. Even the frustrations that you will experience today, and the things that you wish will go a little bit different, is never going to be the same again. What we have right here before us on this day is such a precious opportunity and gift. A day that the Lord has made for you, for me. And so what should we do? Rejoice and be glad in it. Because now, this now, is something that God has made just for you. So how do we do that? How are we thankful for now? How do we get out of this mode that we're always in of looking to the future or looking behind us? How do I open my eyes right now and be present in this situation and exhibit thankfulness and gratefulness for the day that God has given me? How do I do it? Well, I want us to look at more at Psalm 118. And as we approach this idea of being thankful for now, what's the importance behind this? Well, think about how your life would be different if instead of wanting things to be different in the future or regretting things in the past or continually looking to those things, but you were thankful grateful for now, how would your life be different every day when you woke up? How would your family be impacted if you were grateful and thankful for now? How would your job place be different? How would this church be different if we all came in here and were just thankful for where we were? Thankful for what God has done for us, where He has brought us. Thankful for the blessings that we have, for the people that are sitting around us, for the joys that we have experienced. Wouldn't everything be different? Wouldn't life as a whole have a completely different outlook? So let's look at Psalm 118. We're going to look at this entire chapter as we look at these different points of how we can be thankful for now. In Psalm 118, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say..." Whoa. "Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever." A little bit later on in Psalm 118, verses 14 through 16 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly." So what I think we grab from this is that the first step in being thankful for now is that our focus must first be on the one who created it. Our focus has to be on the one who created this day, not the day itself, but the creator of it. Because it's all about foundations. Foundations, the older I get, that's one of those boring things that adults worry about, right? The foundations of buildings and the foundations of anything that you're establishing and building, because the foundation is so important. Well, it's the same thing in life and our spiritual outlook, and it helps us even in being thankful for today. It's all about foundations, because that is what our perspective is built upon in life. And when we start that day out, or when we start each day out with the understanding that we are in a life and that we ourselves are products of an all-powerful creator, that is what gives us the right perspective. It doesn't matter then what happens the rest of that day. It doesn't matter how many good things or bad things occur to us. It doesn't matter if life pans out the way we want it or not, because we understand who is behind it. Who is the creator? Who is the architect? Who is the one who is the all-powerful God? It is Him. And because that is our foundation, because that is our perspective, suddenly we can be thankful for pretty much any situation we may find ourselves in. Because it's not about the day, it's about the creator of that day. Who is eternal? God. What lasts forever? His love. What does His love provide? It provides strength. It provides salvation. He has become my salvation, and nothing can take that away. And so my days cannot be altered. My outlook on life cannot be changed. Because a lot of times our outlook on life is shaped by the contents of that life. Instead of focusing on God, we should allow the Creator to form that outlook. Isn't that true though? I mean, how you're having a bad day. Well, sometimes we'll say that, right? How was your day? I'm having a bad day. Why are you having a bad day? Because certain things didn't go the way you wanted it to. Maybe gas cost a little bit more, or your lunch was spoiled, or someone stole it from the refrigerator, or your coworkers were annoying, or the kids were acting up. And suddenly, because all those things happened in a day, we get to the end of it and you're talking with someone and you say, "Well, I've just had a bad day." We've allowed the contents of that day to dictate to our contentment for that gift, instead of allowing the author of that day to tell us and give us the strength that we need and understanding that we still have salvation. So looking to Him first allows us to be thankful for now, because it doesn't matter what is happening. He's still on His throne. He still loves me. I am still His. It's one of the biggest obstacles in being thankful for now is allowing life to be bigger than the author of life. That's what we got to get around. We got to get around it. You know, there's certain times you're reminded of that. I was reminded of it this morning. You know, I did not sleep well last night. And sometimes that makes me cranky. That makes you have a bad morning. Or I didn't sleep well last night. So you get frustrated. But you come in and that's how I was feeling. And I was standing there. And to sing those songs though, and to be able to cry out, "You're a good, good Father. And I'm loved by You. That's who I am. I'm loved by You." It puts everything into perspective. It doesn't matter the contents of the day, because that is what really matters. So to be thankful for now, we first focus on the one who made our now. Moving on, this time in Psalm 118, verses 5 through 13. It says, "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. And in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. And then verses 17 through 18, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. So the first thing was to be thankful for now. We first focus on the one who made today. The second one, to be thankful for now, we learn from our past. We learn from the past, which is what's going on in these references here, looking back at the persecution that was all around. But who saved him? Who stepped in? Who answered his cries for help? The Lord did. The Lord cut them off. The Lord brought help. The Lord made it to where he was not dying, but was living. Did not hand him over to death. The Lord, his presence, his faithfulness in our past, which we sang an awful lot about this morning. God's faithfulness to us all through history, all through scriptures, and all through our life. To be thankful for now, we learn from the past because we see what God has done. We see God's past faithfulness and we remember and we celebrate what he has done, and it brings us peace to today. It brings us peace in the now, because when we regularly reflect on what God has done, what happens? Well, you can't help but be grateful for now. You just can't. So let's ask that question this morning. What has God done for you? What has he done for you? How have you experienced his presence in your life? What has he brought you through in life? What has God done for you? Look back over the course of your life and think of the darkness that he has brought you through, the valleys that you found yourself wandering in, and remember how God led you out of them. Maybe it's emotional burdens or physical burdens or difficulties or frustrations or worries or concerns. What did God do for you through the course of your life? Doesn't that in itself bring you to a point of understanding and confidence and peace because of his continued faithfulness? Because he has promised, I am never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you. I will always be with you. So what has God done for you? What has he brought you through? And how does that impact your view on where you are right now? It's amazing sometimes how short-term our memories can be. You forget what God has done for us in life. And we can find ourselves, you know, that's happened to me so many times. God brings me through something and I find that relief for just a short period of time. And then what I find like a year later, maybe it's the exact same thing and I'm all concerned and worried and I've forgotten already what it is that God has done, his past faithfulness. When I should be remembering from my past and finding confidence and peace in that moment, because God is faithful. He has never failed us and he's not going to start now, like the song Ocean says. He is faithful. But it's not just things that are contained in this life that he brings us through. There's a much bigger thing that he brings us through. Something we don't necessarily see, something that we aren't necessarily in tune with, but that is him bringing us out of death and into life, out of darkness and into light. That's what he has done for us. And we celebrate that when we gather on this table and we take those emblems. We are remembering this great work that God has done in sending his one and only Son. What he has done for us is he's brought me out of death and into life. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I am found. We come in here and we sing praise to him. We sing these songs to him. We lift him up because he has done these things, because of his past faithfulness, because of this huge act of his grace, grace upon grace upon grace and forgiveness that flows so freely through him. We sing those songs and we gather around that communion table. And what is it that we're doing when we are around that table? We are remembering that God loved me so much that he sent his one and only Son, his only Son, to die a horrible, excruciating death on a cross and to suffer that divide that was created between he and the Father. And he did that for me. He did that for me. That's what we just celebrated a moment ago when we took those emblems. Remembering our past of God's faithfulness to us. And when you remember that he did that for you, how can we be discontent with where we are right now? How? It provides us thanksgiving for where we are, because we see where he's brought us from. And even though life will continue to throw curveballs and these trivial things will continue to pop up, and sometimes it's just going to plain old hurt, we remember this has occurred, that he is faithful to me. So no matter where I am thankful. When we look to the past and we learn from it, we find different things that help us in today. Because we remember the cross, because we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, we find joy, unspeakable joy that cannot be taken from us. No matter what life has thrown at us, we have joy because that doesn't change that fact. It doesn't take God off of His throne. So our joy cannot be taken from us. We find strength in difficulty because we know what He's brought us through, that even when life gets hard, we know that He's got our back. And so we can persevere. We can continue through. But not only that, we find patience, unspeakable patience, because we aren't worried about it. And we can get through it because we know God's got us. We also get wisdom. Wisdom to not repeat actions that have hurt us in the past. So looking to the past allows us to learn and to be thankful for now. Psalm 118 verses 19 through 24 says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So to recap, to be thankful for now, we first focus on the one who created today. To be thankful for now, we learn from our past. But when we learn from our past with a perspective built on God, what we typically find is it brings us face to face with our present reality. And what is it that we must do? This is the third thing. To be thankful for now, we can't continue to dwell in the past, nor can we continue to project ourselves into the desires of our future. Say that again because it's kind of weird. We can't continue to dwell in the past, and nor can we continue to project ourselves into the desires of our future. It's kind of like that ladder again. The most important rung are the ones that we are holding on to. There's no reason to go back. And really in life, you can't. And this also doesn't do us much good to look ahead and wish that we were already there. But rather we must embrace right where we are. So we can't dwell in the past, and we can't continue to project ourselves into the future. Most of you probably celebrated Thanksgiving on this past Thursday. Now, when you think Thanksgiving, you think of that meal and you think of overeating, right? How many people, maybe raise their hands, feel like maybe ate just a little bit too much? Maybe ate a lot too much, okay? What is it, the stat that I think I heard? It could be completely wrong. You always hear so many stats around this, but someone said that I think the typical calorie consumption in a Thanksgiving meal is like 3,000 to 4,000 calories. I'm being told to not share that information, okay? but that's a lot, isn't it? Now, immediately right after Thanksgiving, what are most people talking about? Well, you go into the living room and you enter into that food coma, where you immediately regret everything that you just did. Right? Why did I do that? Why did I get seconds? Why would I put myself through this agony? And so you have that moment of guilt or really just regret in that situation. Like I said, I'm probably going to be doing that a little bit later today. So we have that regret, but what good does that do? What good does it do us in that moment to feel guilty about what we just did? Does that change that moment? Does it alleviate that burden from that moment? No. Feeling guilty and sitting there in those regrets, it doesn't change that moment at all. But it really doesn't help us to sit there in that moment and say, well, you know what, January 1st, this is all going to change. I'm going to make some changes in the future. That resolution, this is not going to happen to me again. That doesn't do us any good either. What is the only thing you can do right there in that moment to make a change, to use now, right? To remember, to learn, and to look to the future a little bit differently, appreciating right then in that moment the lesson that you have learned. And so the only change is going to come right then and right now. And it's the same thing with being thankful. I told you, I look back over my past and there are a lot of things that I feel guilty about. There's a lot of regrets that I have for ways that I didn't show the proper appreciation or thankfulness for where I was because I was continually projecting myself into the future. There's nothing I can do about that. Feeling guilty about that isn't going to change any of those things. And saying, well, it's going to be different in the future. Once I get to that part where I do have a big enough house and where I do have enough money, then I can really be thankful for the situation. That doesn't change anything either. See, this is so simple, but yet so difficult. To be thankful for now, here it is, the key. Start being thankful now. Yeah, I know. But it's true. Start being thankful now. Right where you are, what you have, the friends, the family that are around you, the possessions that you have, the experiences that you have, be thankful now. Because you can't go back and make yourself more thankful. You can't project yourself into the future and be thankful when it pans out the way you want it to. But to be thankful for now, you have to start being thankful right now. for what you've got. Open your eyes to the blessings that are all around you. Because here's the other thing. Here's the kicker in all of this. The fourth way to help us be thankful for now is to understand it's all we've got. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Now, I hope this isn't the case, but the reality of the situation is that this day right here, this day that the Lord has made, that we rejoice in, that we are grateful for any one of us could be the last day of such. It could be the last one. Now, how should we spend this day that we have been given? Should we spend this day pining away and planning and wishing that we could change the past or the future? Or should we use this day to simply be thankful for where we are? And what God has provided us with, what He has given us with, what He has brought us through, for what God has done and for the now that He has brought us to. You know, I hadn't necessarily planned on, and I share this stuff a lot, and so I apologize, but this time of year is particularly hard for me. You guys know, my mom died unexpectedly, 48 years old. Tragedy, right? Impacts me on a daily basis. But this year, part of the year, is so hard, and when I think about this, being thankful for now, it makes me think of it. Because when we first moved here in 2008, we came from Grayson, and Miles, our oldest, he was like 3 months old, and we were living in the basement of someone's house out of Beaver Lake, very nice basement, and it was very appreciated. It was a huge blessing, but that's where we were, and we had family in for Thanksgiving. My parents had come in, and grandparents, and we had everyone there, and we didn't have a way to really cook a whole meal, so we had one of those Kroger deals, right, those box Thanksgiving things. And we were out there, and it was good. It was good to have family there, and to be able to celebrate and have Thanksgiving. But I was sitting in that moment, and I was thinking, here we are, we're in a new town, we're in this new adventure, and I was just continually thinking about what the future is going to hold and how things could just be a little bit better. Man, maybe next year we'll have our own place and we can do Thanksgiving, you know, in more proper fashion. And you sit there and you kind of just find yourself focusing on those things. Not thankful for now, but man, it can be so much better in the future. You know what I would love to do? Go back and shake myself and just say, Brandon, be thankful right now. Be thankful right now for where you are. It was just like a month later, my mom died. And I would love to go back. I would give anything to just be a part of those conversations one more time. To linger on every word. To take in every little gesture and personality trait. Just to be thankful for now. Because I was looking forward to the future. Who knows what I missed out on? Now, I can't do anything about that. I can't go back and change that one bit. But what can I do? I can learn from the past. I can see through the perspective that God provides me. And I can not dwell in the past or the future. And I can start to be thankful for right now. Because I look and I see this row right here and it is filled with family. And I have wonderful, wonderful kids in my care. I have an amazing wife. I have in-laws that are fantastic. I have dad and brother and step-family up in Ohio that would do anything. Be thankful right now. Not dwelling in the past for what I wish I would have done different. Not looking to the future of how it can change. But to be thankful right now. To be thankful right now for this church family that surrounds me. That has been with me through ups and downs and dark and light and peaks and valleys. To be thankful for the friends and family that surround us. To be thankful that we have sustained life. To be thankful for the continued outpouring of God's grace into my life. And when we come on a weekly basis and gather around the table, that's exactly what that reminder is all about. I am thankful because Jesus did die for me, because He has given me life. I am thankful for now. And that's what we have to start doing. Being thankful for now. Psalm 118, verses 25 through 29, and finishes out the whole chapter. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. I will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So give thanks for now. Give thanks for now because no matter what is happening in life, you are His. You're His. In Christ, you are His. And never once looking back over your history have you walked alone. Right now, you are not walking alone. And in the future, You are not going to be walking alone. And so we celebrate and we give thanks for right now. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the ACC Be the Church podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and check us out on our website at accbethechurch.com.